This is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance from CFG Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Travis provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Welcome to Navigating Your Retirement. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm here with our host, Travis Chance. Travis, how are you doing today?
Tony, I am doing fantastic. I am excited about today's show. We are loving life. We are loving serving our clients. And as you know, this is one of the times we get to have fun. So I'm excited. We've been off for 2 weeks, but now we're back.
Awesome. Yeah, we took a little break there, but we're back. And we have a special show lined up for our listeners today, don't we, Travis?
We do. So as all of our listeners know, one of the benefits of working with CFG Wealth Management is we actually use professionals as well, right? Because we are using CFAs, Chartered Financial Analysts, we are using money managers to help us help our clients, because at the end of the day, you want to make sure that there's always an expert for an expert, right? We want to do the best for our clients, but we also want to build and help build portfolios for them that are going to last. And one of the things that we are doing today is we're bringing Keith Gangle on the show. Keith is one of the top managers at Gradient Financial, Gradient Investments, and he is one of the portfolio managers that we work with quite a bit. And some of you guys have probably seen him at some of our events, but for those who haven't or those are first-time listeners, it's going to be an exciting show because Keith brings a wealth of knowledge and some very keen insight on what's going on in the market today. So, Keith, I hope I didn't build you up too much.
Oh, yeah. You did a fantastic markets. Job. It's going to be a pleasure. I mean, a lot of fun working here on the podcast today, so looking forward to it.
Well, Tony and I like to have a good time. We throw a little bit of finance in, but most of the time it's just he and I trying to entertain for a half hour or so and give you a couple good points. So
Shooting
the breeze should be a good point. But Tony, before we get started, Keith, not to keep you waiting, but So obviously, I don't know if I told you, I turned a year older last week. I had my 46th birthday. My middle child had her 8th birthday, and I am just getting over our vacation.
Travis, you don't look a day over 45.
Day over 45. That's what my wife says. I have the body of a nice 50-year-old.
That's where I'm sitting as well.
But our kids, we went to Universal and they wore us out. And then actually, this is what I was going to share. So when I was 8 years old, I had no idea what I wanted to do for a living. And a lot of 8-year-olds don't. But my 8-year-old, her name is Merritt. Most of my clients have probably met her at some point. And she has told us since she was 5 that she wanted to be a veterinarian and go to the University of Georgia. So really cool work. It worked out, the series of events. The only day in the entire year that she was able to do their open house was actually on her birthday. So that's one of the things we got to do last Friday is go to the UGA Vet Clinic and tour the campus. And it was pretty cool. So I definitely wanted to share that because I know a lot of our clients have actually heard that story.
That's great.
But Yeah.
I bet she was excited.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Her birthday and a visit there.
Yeah, they
did. That's like a dream come true.
They did dissect, you know, they had dissected, you know, organs and sonograms. And wow. We got to meet Uga. And they had a surgery clinic for teddy bears. I mean, it was awesome. So,
oh, that's fun. I bet she really enjoyed that. Boy, you couldn't ask for a better birthday.
No, and that's kind of got me what's got me charged up for this week, because needed a couple days in the beginning, but we're ready to go. So anyway, just wanted to share a little bit of that. We always like to share something personal, because after all, our relationship with our clients extends way beyond what's in their portfolio. So but with that being said, Keith, without further ado, I do want to dive into some topics I know a lot of our listeners are concerned about, they're thinking about, they're looking at their statements, they're liking, and that's a really strong start to 2023. So give an analyst perspective of what you've seen going on and kind of what that's leading us to maybe going into next Q1, Q2 earnings going forward in the year.
Yeah, great. You're right. The year's starting fantastic. We're up, I think, when I say up, we're talking about the general market. The S&P 500 is about up as of today. I think it was 8.5% year to date. That's fantastic. Through the first quarter, it was almost 10%. So after last year, the market, again, S&P 500 was up about 25%. Mm-hmm. Nice start this year. And the reason it's doing so well is unemployment. People are working still. Unemployment's at 3.8%. We are the firm believers when consumers have money in their pockets when they're working, they love to spend. That drives the overall economy. That drives GDP growth rate. GDP still healthy growth rate around 2%. That's a great number. And lastly, I think why the market's been so strong is earnings have been really good. Last year, expectations were for kind of muted to down earnings. They actually finished slightly up.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound fantastic, but that's a good basis. Now, expectations for this year are actually up about 11, 12%. We think that's a little bit too high, but that being said, even if it's at 7 to 10%, we think that's a great backdrop for the market. I think that's why the market's been so well so the first part of the year. Now, we're right in front of earnings season starting here in the next 3-4 weeks. That should dictate what the market's going to do for the next 3 to 6 months.
Well, at the end of the day, we talk a lot about, you know, the news and where clients hear, you know, the repetitive, you know, this new stock's up, this Nvidia is doing gangbusters, yada yada yada. Last year, we obviously saw the Magnificent Seven, not Yul Brynner, but the actual Magnificent Seven,
and
Steve McQueen. So no. We're talking about, you know, the Google, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, you know, up gangbusters. But one of the things that I'm getting more and more optimistic about is the fact that and from everything that I've seen, you and I've had conversation, you're starting to actually see some widening out and some broadening out of the width and breadth of the market, not just focused in that handful of stocks. Because, I mean, the market's up this year, but I think Apple is down still, what, 10, 12 for the year so far?
Yep, exactly.
So when your leaders start to lag, but the market still continues to move forward, I think that's something clients should look at and be a little bit optimistic about. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you nailed it exactly. Where we start to see the breadth widening, that means, you know, not just the, you know, leaders, the generals, those top seven names, which last year the market again was up that 25%. Those names as a whole were averaged about 75%. So that drove a lot of that, mm-hmm. you know, market. Now, what we're seeing this year, that Magnificent Seven is no longer Magnificent Seven. There's even within that, there's been a divergence, right? You have Nvidia, you mentioned, they've been fantastic. And then the other side, Tesla's down, you know, 30%.
Yeah, Tesla's down, Apple's down.
10%.
Yep.
And so the market is still up, like I said, that 10% we talked about earlier, end of Q1. We're starting to see some breath. We're starting to see financials work. That's mm-hmm. a good sign. Financials generally work when the economy is working well. We're starting mm-hmm. to see industrials work. They're doing very well. And the reason that industrials are doing well is, you know, those are people are building bridges, infrastructure, things like that. That's still going strong. So when those other stocks start to work as well, it's a very encouraging sign. Normally when your leaders kind of lag, or at least part of them, the whole market can end up selling off. And we haven't seen that. That's why we're very encouraged. And again, the other couple of things that we do look at, I always like to talk about, is the unemployment. As long as people are working, they'll spend money.
Mm-hmm.
And the one big, the bugaboo that we haven't talked about is inflation. Well, I'm sure we'll get there too. That's been, we saw a print the other day that was a little bit higher than expectations. So makes the market a little bit nervous here, but we'll see what the earnings bring here in the next few weeks.
Well, so you bring up a great segue into the opposite trade, right? A lot of portfolios, especially for retirees, tend to have some fixed income worked in. You've got the long end of the curve, the short end of the curve, which is still higher than the long. We're not quite as inverted as we were, but we're still inverted. So with interest rates right now, like you said, inflation still very sticky. You and I had a conversation, I know, a while back, actually. I think we even talked about it at our client event, that from 9 to 4 was the easy part. From 3 to 2 is going to be the hard part.
And that's where we're at.
And that's where interest rates, I think, what you're also still seeing is sometimes there's shell shock because, we do our best to allocate as far as adding the appropriate amount of fixed income, interest-sensitive products, interest-sensitive investments. But when interest rates are still remaining high, if not working a little bit higher, obviously fixed income doesn't do as well. And you kind of hit the nail on the head. So talk about interest rates going forward and what you feel the Fed policy is going to be, because I'll be honest, I told Tony, I gave up trying to guess what the Fed was going to do back in June of 2022. I just threw my hands up and I'm like, I'm done. I don't, there's no way. But I do think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I do think there's going to be a very difficult sale. It's going to be a difficult sale for the Fed to have 5-6 rate cuts, as some analysts have predicted. 1 to 3 is looking like probably the where the smart money is, if not maybe even none. So talk about what you've seen inflation wise, the PPI number that came out, interest rates, and kind of where we think the puck is going for Fed policy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keith, tell us exactly what the Fed's going to do.
I will. Everybody stay tuned. Here's a Fed's playbook. Now, really what's driving the overall interest rates, kind of what part key driver of the market as well as what the Fed policy is. If you go back to, you stated exactly right. If you go back to end of last year, expectations this year for 6 rate cuts, which basically that means 150 basis points off of where the current Fed funds rate
was. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen, right? So that was at 5.25. Expectations were, you take that down to, 350, 375. Like you said, not going to happen. And we were out on several media end of last year saying, nope, that's way too much. We think the economy's strong, GDP's stronger, earnings are coming stronger, and unemployment's still there. There's absolutely no reason that the Fed needs to cut. We didn't like the rates being as high as they were, but there's no reason they need to cut, to kind of soften things. So we certainly didn't think that was going to be the case. We thought maybe it was going to be that 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where everybody's coming to now. We've seen, obviously, there's expectations were for a cut in March. That's long gone. Expectations just the other day were that we'd see 50% probability we see a 25 basis point cut in June. That's now dropped down to 20% after this hotter inflation number. When inflation's hot, we can talk about that, right? The reason the Fed raised rates was to control inflation. Mm-hmm. You nailed it. We went from the easy inflation of 9% June of 2022 down to, that 3.5-4%. I think the easy, like you said, the easy part's been played out. Now it's going to be a lot of work and go from this 3.5 down to a 2%. And that just takes time. And so the longer it takes, the longer the interest rates are going to remain high. So we think now, realistically, we're probably going to get maybe 1%. Maybe 2. It could even be no rate cuts if the economy stays strong. And again, that's why we really need to focus here in the next few weeks on earnings. If the earnings come in stronger, inflation staying sticky, I could see them not doing a cut. And I'm sure we'll get at some point in the conversation about elections coming up. But, the Fed doesn't want to see like their political animal either. So there may be a cause for them, even if there was a need for a cut, they may not cut in front of an election. Just they don't want to see like it's a political reason for cutting. So that's why, I'm more on the conservative side. I think I'm leaning towards more that, I'd say 1 at this point in time. That could even come maybe after the election, especially if the economy remains strong. Now, if we start seeing inflation gets reported monthly, if we start seeing inflation step down from that 3.5 to, 3.3, 3.2, sub 3, then maybe we start getting rate cuts. And again, this all relates to how does this impact your clients? Well, it's basically on interest rates, right? Right now, the 10-year treasury, which looks at the 10-year part of the curve, which is kind of the middle point, we're at, it backed up the other day 30 basis points. That's a lot in one day. So we're at about 4.55%.
Mm-hmm.
And so, remember, you touched on it, when interest rates go up, bond prices go down. And I talked about the nice fact that the S&P is up, 8-10% year to date. But the bond market, with this, sticky inflation number, we're actually down year to date. I think it's down around 2-2.5%. So that part of, your clients' allocation is actually down. Mm. At some point in time, it's, these higher levels of interest rates are a good thing for your clients, right? If you go back a couple of years ago, it was hard to even get, 1%, 2%. But now, when the rates are at 4.5%, at some point in time, they're going to stabilize at these higher levels, and they're probably going to gradually come down, which then you'll get the tailwind from the rates coming down, plus you're going to have the higher coupon level. It's going to be ultimately a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of this uncomfortable period right now that you're losing a little bit of money. I wouldn't expect rates to back up a whole lot higher, unless inflation really kicks its heels up, and I don't see that happening. I do think we're not going to go down as quickly as people like us to in the inflation side of things.
Well, and once again, this is not us giving returns. We're not trying to use this as a marketing for management style, but that's one of the reasons we've recommended, at least for most of our clients, hold both ends of the curve. Hold the 10 year and the longer duration, but also the stable value, the short-term treasuries, just simply because that way you don't have that duration risk. We're still getting, the 3.5-5% on yield, and I just feel like it's not a time to just cut all ties and just go long into the curve, because we don't know if all of a sudden we're talking about a 5% 10-year 6 months from now, just because, as you said, think about what the Fed's, in my opinion, this is just Travis talking, so think about what the Fed is sitting there really twiddling their thumbs about. They're sitting there going, okay, we got a lot of egg on our face whenever we said inflation was transitory back in 2021, 2022. Now, if we cut too soon, we're going to get hammered. If we cut too late, we're going to get hammered. So they're really trying to thread the needle. And that's why I agree with you. I think we might be 0-1, maybe two on the bull side, 0 on the bear side, 1 in the middle. Because think about it. They're seeing hotter than expected, even though it's a tenth of a point inflation. They're seeing strong labor market. What's the incentive? Right. I mean, that's the whole thing, is when the economy starts to stumble, that's whenever they come in and they have the ammunition with interest rates to lower it. So that way it spurs the economy. What is the catalyst? There is no catalyst. They have got the inflation on the run. If they give in now, then like you said, they appear political. And that's, I think that's definitely something that Jay Powell's taken into consideration, or if he's not, he's an idiot. But
they want to avoid that.
Yeah.
It's just like you and Keith said. And if I was a betting man, I mean, you guys are the experts, but I would bet no rate increases this year.
I'm going 0-1.
They're
going to
hold steady. That's what I would say. But
so that, I'm at probably at 1-0, but that is definitely out of consensus. I mean, the consensus is at 3. So again, I think that's not a bad spot. If the economy remains healthy and inflation kind of doesn't go much higher than where it's at now, that's not a bad spot to actually be in. That, people are working, they got money, they'll spend.
As the economy stays good.
So that's why, Travis, you nailed it too. You like to have that, I like them a little bit higher here, obviously, because you can now invest in these, the stable value. Mm-hmm. And your
short-term treasuries, 4-5%.
Right? You're getting 4-5% versus, before.
Taking duration risk, getting the same yield, so.
Yeah, so it's kind of a no-brainer. You're doing a great job of allocating, too. You're barbelling it, and so you got, just in case rates do come down, you got the longer-end stuff. But then, in the most case, I tell a lot of people, it's like, there's no reason not to have some money in this short-term or treasuries or stable value, these kind of things, because it's like, they're paying yields of 4.5-5-6%. That's fantastic for taking very, very little risk and not having to worry about what's going on with the Fed. Now, that being said, once the Fed does start cutting, those rates are going to come down, right?
Oh, so
that's
absolutely.
That's probably when you want to start transitioning that money out to a little bit longer,
No, absolutely. But right now, and what we've been telling clients, especially if they're actively taking income, well, that's a great way for us to shield some cash, put it stable value, because we don't have the duration risk, and we're basically we're allowing the long end of the curve to mature versus pulling from those assets over time. That's just hopefully eliminating or reducing sequence of returns risk as well. So so going maybe shifting gears a step further. So A lot of the things that you and I really work together on is you manage and make recommendations and make the stock picks on our core portfolio. A lot of our clients, that's one of our portfolios that we really think is the place to be for now. Talk about the characteristics of core. Talk about the mindset of what goes in from an investment. You don't have to tell us an individual yep. investments, but just kind of what the positioning is, et cetera.
Yeah, sure. The core selects one of the portfolios I manage, and that's going to have a lot of same characteristics of the market or the S&P 500. But instead of owning 500 names in the core select, I'm going to own 50 to 80 of my favorite names. Currently, I have about 55 names, which has been pretty consistent for the last couple of years. Those are names I really like. There's reasons. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of good names in the S&P 500, but do I need to own all 500? Absolutely not. No. There's certain lot of parts of sectors and industries that I have no interest in, don't want to own them. But there could be a point in time in the future that I will want to own them. Now, from the overall characteristics, you know, so generally speaking, it's going to look and feel of the overall market. And right now, I would say it's pretty balanced. You know, we have about a third of the names I own are considered growthy names. A third are considered kind of value, you know, paying that nice dividend. And there's a third that are kind of fit in the middle, like we call them core. And that's kind of actually how the core select got its original name. But a name in the core that's not really growthy, not value, that we think is fantastic is a name like Costco. That's a mm-hmm. great name. It's not a super fast grower, doesn't pay a huge dividend from the value side of things, but this is kind of a name. It's a long-term name.
Singles, doubles, and triples.
Singles, doubles, and triples, and this is a compounder. Those are the kind of names I like to put in the core select. These are, you know, sleep well at night names. These, you know, they do fantastically well over time. They obviously, you know, ebb and flow at points in time, but that's kind of how we are currently positioned. Now, if we back it up about 6 months ago, I had a lot more of the growth names, a lot more of these Magnificent Seven. I still own a good chunk of them in the portfolio, but I started peeling back and taking some of the profits. You know, like Apple's a prime example. I took a bunch of profits in that. Apple's been a great stock for several years. I still own it, but I own a lot less than I used to, just right. because I thought there was better opportunities elsewhere to, you know, kind of put in the portfolio. Well, and we don't own Tesla, but one of my favorite names of the Magnificent Seven is Amazon. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's a retailer and a technology name.
But almost all-time high.
All-time high, yeah. It's not a cheap name, but I think they're going to continue to execute. And, you know, NVIDIA, we have a nice side position of that. And, that, again, that as good as the stock's been, was up 240% last year. I think it's up 90% this year. Mm-hmm. We took some profits last year, but we still own a good chunk. I still want to be involved because valuation of the stock is not that expensive. Those are the kind of names we like. But we own healthcare names, we own industrials, and generally speaking, we're kind of overweight some financials, we're overweight some healthcare, and some of the, you know, actually technology as a whole is a big part of the overall S&P 500. Mm-hmm. We're actually, when we look at that compared to the S&P 500, we own a little bit less. We're actually underweight, so we're taking some of those profits, and we're waiting maybe for the market's probably due for a little bit of a correction. We don't know when they happen, so that's why they're hard to time. But that's what we do as active portfolio manager. We take some profits out of some of the stuff that's worked well, and we kind of try and buy some stocks at a lower level.
Just sound portfolio management. So, I mean, and you hit the nail on the head. You know, I firmly believe, and you can read Morningstar, JP Morgan, you name the big analyst out there, and, you know, next 10 years, just holding an index, you're looking at, you know, mid single digit 5-6% rate of return over the next 10 years or what's being projected. Morningstar is actually closer to 5. That's the reason why being selective can really help generate that alpha, is trying to dig deeper than just holding 500 stocks and saying, okay, what do we think is advantageous right now? As you said, what has been on a run? Is it time to rotate? And that's obviously what our clients look to for us. And then obviously we look to for you guys to help us put the pieces of the puzzle together. So the last thing I want to talk about, because I don't want to take us too long, is we, if you didn't know this, folks, there is an election this year. So, yeah, I know. So if you didn't know, there's an election this year, but there's also concerns right now over, you know, obviously tensions ratcheting up with China. And I think, you know, Japan's trying to buy U.S. steel. Biden's blocking that. Now there's potentially could be tensions ratcheting up there. So Asia and the South China Sea is becoming a little bit of a hot zone. We have got, obviously, the Middle East. We've got Russia, Ukraine still going on. So, Keith, I know you and I have talked about this, especially in our meetings in person, as well as our client events. Don't think red. Think green. Don't think blue. You cannot think one way or the other, because chances are, if you're just confirmation biased and you just read certain information, you're going to make a decision one way or the other, and it's not always going to be the right decision. So talk a little bit about some of the potential election risk you see and some of the geopolitical issues that we're seeing pop up right now.
Yeah, you nailed it on the head as well. Obviously, election's right around the corner. I mean, November, there'll be a lot more chatter and people start getting nervous. And when you start getting nervous, then you start, oh, what should I do with my money? Keep your investment decisions separate from your political decisions. Mm-hmm. That's why they're working with you. And you do a great job. You're like, you tell them, it's like, okay, these guys, we're going to allocate some to bonds. We're going to allocate some to stocks. And by the way, when we're picking stocks, we're picking stocks. We're not picking politicians. We're investing in whether it's Costco or McDonald's or Amazon or whatever. We're looking at the fundamentals there. And it's like, we're not investing in the Republican or the Democrat, red or blue. We're looking to make, like you mentioned, we're looking to make green.
Yeah, now, we didn't invest in DJT whenever it hit the market.
No, remember, that's not the kind of stuff we'd ever invest in anyway.
Or DWAC. We didn't buy DWAC either. So
yeah, no, not any of the meme stocks or any of the stuff like that. But, I was out at your event, 4 years ago, right before the election. I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks before the last highly contested election. And obviously it looks like it's going to be the same type of deal. And you guys in Georgia are certainly in the hot.
It's just deja vu.
It's deja vu all over again. But everybody, say if your guy didn't get elected back then, what did the markets do? They tend to grind up and to the right, regardless of your party. Same thing. If you wanted the other person to win, if you go back prior to that, it's like same type of thing. Markets went up and to the right. So, I mean, if we had a visual I could show you, which we've done at some of your events, and I'm sure you have, is there's a chart of the S&P 500. Marches up and to the right, and it doesn't matter. We lay in the background, we lay whether it's blue for the Democrat or red for Republican on behind for the time periods, the 4, 8 years, whatever they're in office. What does the market magically do?
Mm-hmm.
It grinds up and to the right. It doesn't care. I mean, obviously, politicians have some impact on maybe some industries and stuff like that, but that's kind of what we take into consideration as well. But again, those are always, not always, but generally very overstated, A prime example would be like the energy space. Generally speaking, Republicans are pro energy and they should do well when have Republicans in charge. But if you go back to when Trump was in charge, President Trump last time, it was energy stocks did very poorly. Now that President Biden's in charge, energy stocks have done fantastically
well. So sometimes
well.
It's the opposite.
It's just the opposite. That's why it's hard to predict.
Politics you can't confuse politics with. With your economic or financial decisions.
Yeah, you may think it's going to do one thing because of the party getting elected, but it may do the opposite. So again, what we focus on, we're literally focused on company fundamentals. We're looking at these quarterly earnings, which I've been talking about a few times earlier. That's a huge focus for us, and we're going to see what is Amazon saying, what's Alphabet saying, what's McDonald's, what's Home Depot, what's Lowe's, all these different companies. What are they saying about the overall economy? And then from that, we're going to make our investment decisions, not from who's going to get elected. So key message there, just to repeat, is we're looking to make green. We don't care red or blue. And obviously go vote and vote the way you want to. But, don't make your investment. Talk to Travis. Travis knows what he's doing. Travis will say, no, you guys just stop with election chatter here and let's focus on your plan. Are we generating enough income for your needs? Are we growing your assets the way you need them to grow? And that's what we're going to focus on there. So that's the election side of things. Now, go ahead, Travis.
Well, geopolitical risk, and because I don't want to take us too much longer, but geopolitical risk, same in my opinion, same as clients can remember back in January, February of 2022. Markets will react short term in some cases, but just like you just said, there is absolutely no way to know whether the geopolitical risk is going to cause a big bump or a little bump. So your opinion, geopolitical, give us maybe 30 seconds or a minute on kind of sure. what you see in that regard.
Yeah, you touched on 2022, obviously, with Russia, you know, invading Ukraine. Everybody thought that would be, you know,
cataclysmic
for the overall. Yeah, exactly. And it hasn't been the case. The markets have actually marched right on through it, right? Now I get the Middle East. That's the next kind of hot button right now. And same type of thing. You know, market flares up a little bit, but then it kind of keeps on going to the right. Now the Middle East is, you're starting to see oil prices rise here a little bit. I think you're starting to see some geopolitical. So that does kind of impact, you know, wallets and consumers' pockets. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. If that continues to go, oil prices right now are around $85. I think we're on the high end of the range of that 60 to 90, I think is normal. So I think we're on the high end. And I think it's not because of supply or demand issues. It is more geopolitical
right now. It's fear-driven. Yep, short-term.
So I think that will subside and we go back to that normal range I talked about, and which will be a good thing. I'm sure your clients and people you talk to are starting to see it at the pumps. We're starting to see it up here as well.
Well, and just to kind of put a bow on the show for today, that's the reason we encourage our clients and are very adamant about getting up-to-date risk tolerances, having these conversations, you know, all of our clients to see us on a regular basis, because that way we can talk through some of these concerns. Because if they just, a lot of times human nature is if we just sit there and dwell on them and let them fester, then a lot of times we our mind fills in the details, even though it's maybe not exactly what the facts would dictate. So, you know, one of the things we encourage our clients to do, Keith, Tony, you know this, make sure your risk tolerance is matching what you're doing in the market. That's the reason we're adamant about keeping portfolio balance. Be selective. That's where we come in, where Gradient comes in. Be selective about the assets that we hold. And then the last thing I'm going to say, because it is tax season, is you have to try to be diligent to remain tax efficient. Because at the end of the day, Keith, you know, our goal is to provide alpha in investment returns, but it's also something that tax efficiency can create that additional alpha, because it's not more important what you make, it's what you keep. And if you're not pushing it out to Uncle Sam, that's just that much more staying in your portfolio. And that's the way we view a quality retiree plan. That's the way you need to focus. So I appreciate you coming on today. Anything you want to add before we close this out?
No, you nailed it. Thanks for having me. You do a great job with your clients. Like I said, I've been to several of your events. They love you. You do a fantastic job. And you keep them diversified. And you're one of those guys that you don't chase performance, right? You kind of dial people back when the market's getting, you know, all frothy. You're not like, yeah, let's get in. Let's get more aggressive.
Yeah, we're not chasing.
Like, no, you're not chasing. And vice versa, when the markets are you're in the dumpster, you're like, you're not fire selling. You're not, oh, we're going to move to cash. Because that's, you know, one of the worst things to do. Because once you do that, made that decision, it's hard to get back in the market. So you do a great job of keeping your clients allocated. Again, allocated to their risk, you know, tolerance.
Right.
Because every client's different. Every client's different.
Yeah, your portfolio doesn't just have to look good. It's got to look good on you. So with that being said, thank you for coming in, folks. Tony, always a pleasure. We will see you next week. And God bless.
All right. That does it for today's episode of Navigating Your Retirement with our host, Travis Chance. Thank you for listening to Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Travis at CFG Wealth Management. Call 877-269-0839 or visit them online at NavigatingRetirementRadio.com. Advisory services are offered by CFG Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Georgia. Insurance products and services are offered through TL Chance, Inc., an affiliated company.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.